Jesus, meet us in this room tonight. Lord, you have called this meeting with us, and we come before you. In the name of Jesus, we come to the mercy seat. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Good to see you all. Have a seat. Amen. Well, how many are excited? If you knew anything about the news, if you're watching any political news, are you happy about some of the election last night? Some of those parents stood up that had boldness and they said no to that liberal agenda, that liberal dictator socialism. They said, oh, no, you don't. Not with our babies, you're not. And so they just stood up and God put them right there in office. And I'm so thankful that for that governorship there in Virginia, the man that won was an amazing thing. Not a politician at all, but God just lifted him up and put him in. And when he was making his speech, his wife said he had been on his job for over 30 years. And he says to her, can you go for a walk with me? And they went for a walk. And he said, honey, I'm going to quit my job. I just feel like I should quit. And God has called me into public service. And he said, I had such a conviction. Use the word conviction. Well, then the lieutenant governor, who would be his assistant, is a Jamaican lady who had her husband standing behind her and her two daughters. And she was such a voice to say, listen, there are no blacks. There are no Hispanic and Mexican and Puerto Rican and white. We're just Americans in America. Why not just be American and just be qualified, let God do it? And so she finishes her whole speech, and then she says, there's one more thing I've got to say. She said, I just want to be thanking my Jesus. I just want to be thanking Jesus. Now, she could have said, thank God. See, the world doesn't care if you say God or my friend or my Savior, my baptizer, the Holy Ghost. But they do not. There's just something about that name that just drives them crazy. And she said it in front of the whole world. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, praising God for that. Niles and Tanya, good to see you guys tonight. Love you. Good to see you on Wednesday. All right, look, I think we're just going to save our offerings and tithe and bring that whenever you feel to bring it during our prayer time, because I'm just going to bring you a couple of things tonight that I want to encourage you with. Now, don't forget to set your clocks back Saturday night, all right? Somebody will probably have to remind me of that, but don't forget. Let's turn over. I think we'll go to 2 Samuel. I just want you to look at two things in the Bible, and I believe it's going to encourage you. Remember, this is our recharge night. Now, I am not, absolutely not concerned about the attendance. A few more here tonight, and I can see this whole place packed. It is going to be packed. I can see it. I'm not concerned. I mean, most of the time, you're concerned about attendance on a midweek service. I'm not thinking about that. I'm just happy for what I feel, because I feel the presence of the Lord is in this. Is anyone with me on that? All right, let's stay together on it. Because listen, today I had to charge up my watch. It went down to total nothing. I left my charger over at Sarah's. So David put it out. I stopped by to get it and charged it up. And now it has full power, full strength. And so I'm praying that when we come on in here on Wednesday night, that we charge up. If you've been a little bit low or something happened in the family or in the finances or wherever it may have been, that you just charge up this night. So let me take you there with King David. Okay, you're looking at King David here, and I want to let you in on a little prayer he prayed. He just could not believe where God took him. And I think that God has some things. I don't think it's according to the word. He has some things so in store for us in our future, in your future. But we have to grab a hold of it and believe it and declare it and know it. But let me show you what happened here with David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we will read at verse 18. Just look at this. It is just so full. Then King David went in and he sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord?" I mean, David is blown away with what God has done in his life. So he calls a meeting with God. He just goes into a secret place, and he just starts to talk to God. Even now he's a king. And when he says, "I sat before the Lord, and I said, Lord, who am I? And what is my family that you would do such a thing for me? Lord, was I the biggest? Was I the strongest? Was I the best? Was I the most qualified in my father's family?" And you know the answer to that. It was no. He was just a little shepherd out in the field. All the other brothers were strong and robust and handsome. And here's this little, Bible says, ruddy David out in the field. And even though he's in this position, he's still saying, "God, I can hardly believe what you have done for me. Who was I? Did I earn that? Who is my family?" And then he goes on, I love this part. He says, "And if that wasn't enough to say that this kingdom that you've given me, that I'll be king forever, you said that somebody will sit on this throne because of me forever and ever." And then he says, "If that wasn't enough, then you begin to talk about my future." See, to God, it's never enough for us. That's why Paul said in the book of Galatians, and we just read it last Sunday in the Psalms, do not lose heart. Because God makes an announcement, and then Satan comes again and again and again and again, trying to discourage, trying to bury your hope, trying to put things away. And I believe the cemetery is full of people, and people living today, prisons are full of people just like David, that had they followed after God and believed it, they would have said, "Oh my God, who am I and who is my family that you would treat me like this? And if that wasn't enough, you spoke about my future." And then he says, "Lord, is this your usual way to deal with man? Do you just do this to everybody?" I'm telling you guys, grab a hold of this. I don't care who you are, what you're like, what your family was like, how you were raised, what church we're in. It doesn't matter where you came from, what mama was, what daddy does. I've got a feeling that we will all be talking this way, and we should be talking this way right now. Think about where you once were and where you are now. How about that? Let's just go there. Where were we at one time? And to think you're sitting here now and where the Lord has brought you from and where you could have been, my Lord. God, is that just a usual way you deal with people? Is that just what you do? Look at verse 20. "Oh, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord." You know me. He says, "I don't even know what else to say. You know me better than I know myself, or my mother knows me. Now look, for the sake of your word, and according to your will," in verse 21, "for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done great thing. You have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. Ooh, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no one, God, but you. As we have heard it with our own ears." I'm just telling you, you've heard some things in your spirit with your own ears. And I'm going to leave that there, and I don't want you reading the rest because it's just so inviting, but let this be your homework and study this a bit. If you've got other Bible help, study this, and I believe it'll help you. It'll give you a good charge up. But let's go, Kathy, let's do go to verse 28, though, and we'll tidy up this verse with this. Verse 28, O Sovereign Lord, You are God. By the way, if you're wondering, my reading is not quite like yours. I'm reading from the NIV. Because when I saw what was the way it was written, this next verse I'm going to give you, I knew I had to read it from the NIV. Do we have that version, Kathy? So you don't have to change it over right now, but I'll wait for you when we get to the next verse in Isaiah. All right, verse 28 right here in 2 Samuel 7. O Sovereign Lord, You are God. Your words are trustworthy, and You have promised these good things to Your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of Your servant, that it may continue in Your sight forever. For You, O Lord, have spoken with Your blessing the house of Your servant, and it will be blessed forever. Now, I don't care where your kids are or what they've done, what your financial status is, or where your husband is, or your wife, or whatever's happening, and how crazy they're all acting, how the whole thing could be blown totally out of proportion. I want you to hold this right now. Hold this, Lord. You have spoken some things over me, and You have a plan for my whole house, and there's going to be a blessing on the house of Your servant, no matter what that void is. No matter what that girl does, no matter what happened, hold on to it now, hold on. Because let me tell you something, this blessing, this kingship, can you hear this tonight in your spirit? David didn't go out to look to be the king of Israel. He didn't go look for it. There is no way that this little boy ever thought he could be a king. He didn't go looking for it. The thing came after him and it found him. He didn't have to go find first. He didn't have to go find the prophet Samuel. Isn't that amazing, Brother Art? I mean, how can God put people together and things together? And Samuel found this little kid and he goes to his daddy's house and the boy wasn't even in the house. So Samuel waited. He goes, Jesse, you got to have another kid. Well, I do have one, but I mean, he wouldn't have been Jesse's pick. He's not material for a king. Anyway, I'm just telling you, when God has things planned for us, He will have it find you. Just keep believing. Just keep on. And I hate it so bad that people have bailed out during COVID and haven't stayed put, because what are they going to miss out on? God, I call them back in Jesus' name. And I don't want one of us in this house, including myself, to lose hope and let anything disturb us. Nothing. The Bible, Paul said in one part in the New Testament, he said, who did hinder you? Who did hinder you to run this race? Because God said there shouldn't be anyone that could hinder you. Amen. Well, all right, so instead of the field, God gives this little red-headed boy, instead of the field, He gives him a palace. Instead of being a shepherd the rest of his life, he became a king. And so there's a bunch of insteads, and I want you to go over, and this is why I chose the NIV tonight, because I want you to see this. You're real familiar with this, but you're probably very familiar with it in the King James. But I must show it to you. Kathy, you going to be able to do that for us? Okay, in the NIV? Okay, Isaiah has seen in the Spirit, he saw Jesus in the future. And Jesus came out and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor and open the eyes of the blind and set the prisoners free. And so Jesus... that was prophetic utterance as of what was going to happen in the future. And then Jesus comes on the scene in the book of Luke, Matthew, and I think Mark. And Jesus says he found it in the word where it was written. He's anointed me to preach a gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. So everything that was prophesied came to pass. But I'm not gonna go right there. But I want to go to verse 3. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Now y'all have to hold on to this. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to circle every time you see instead, or highlight it if you're looking at your phone, because he's got a bunch of insteads for us. He's already started the insteads. Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 3. And Jesus, there, the prophecy had been coming about Jesus. And then it says in verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, or that means in the body of Christ, to bestow on them, look at this, a crown of beauty. Look at this word. Instead of ashes. Now, to get ashes, something has to be totally burned up, right? You got to burn it up. And then there's nothing there but ashes. We used to be able to burn real wood in a fireplace. Some of you may still can. But that old wood just became ashes. There's things in our life, thank God, that are behind us. And that's nothing but ashes now, Adam, nothing but ashes. And so he said, instead of those ashes, and the ashes that you say, oh, they still aggravate me, that my past still comes up. No. He said, instead of those ashes, I want to give you a crown of beauty. Now, only God knows what that beauty is for you, Anthony. And for you, Linda De Leon. For you, Tanya. Only God knows. Because our crown of beauty would be totally different for each one of us. So he said, instead of the ashes, I've got a crown of beauty for you. Look at this one. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. There's been a lot of mourning. There's been a lot of crying. There's been a lot of what in the world is going on? And so he said, instead of all that crying and mourning and weeping and even grief, I want to give you gladness, an oil that would anoint you, an oil of gladness instead of mourning. All right, now look at this. And I want to give you I will. This is still coming from Jesus, the prophecy of him. And, excuse me, and a garment of praise instead of what? The spirit of despair. Now, when you get down in the dumps or you get a little depression nipping at your heels, and every one of us feel it now and then, because if we didn't, there wouldn't be a real devil. And there is a real enemy. And he comes nipping at your heels with oppression or depression or whatever he can. But God said, instead of that spirit of heaviness, I have something instead, and that's a garment of praise. So just put garment of praise on, Brother Jeff, and begin to praise him. If you can't praise him by yourself, then just put a CD on in your car or your truck. And just put a song on and begin to praise him with it. He said, because I've got a little garment that's probably the robe of righteousness. And he said, I just place it upon you, but actually you place it on yourself with praise instead. Look at this one. They, that's us, we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of splendor. We talk about the glory of the Lord coming on in, and it will be a display of his splendor to the whole earth. But he said, but I want you to display. I want you to display my splendor. Okay, let's move on down so we can stop right here. Verse 7, look at this. Instead, there's another instead. Instead of their shame, that's our shame, no matter what you did behind you that's ugly and you're embarrassed about it, or what's happening right now. Instead of their shame, he understands that, my people will receive what? A double portion. Instead of disgrace. He said, I am not going to let it disgrace you. You say, yeah, but it's going to come back to haunt me. No, he said, instead of disgrace, no. Instead of their shame, you'll receive a double portion. A double portion of what? I would say if it was shame, then he says, instead of that, I'll give you a double portion of glory. What would be the opposite of shame? Honor, okay, I was going to say pride, but now we don't want to say pride. Honor is good. I'll just give you a double portion of honor, of glory, of splendor, and people will look at you and say, what? And then you'll go back to God like David and say, what did I do to deserve this? God, is this the usual way you deal with people like me that's so full of shame and disgraceful? God, who is my family? What am I? I wasn't the most qualified. And then he said, instead of disgrace, you'll receive your inheritance. You'll rejoice in your inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have a lot of things, church, that's just waiting on you. You've got big old angels. Because he said, all the angels, my angels, are ministering spirits. They are ministers of fire sent out to minister to those in my house, the remnant. Call that meeting with him this week. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, who am I that you would bless me like this? Who am I to think that you would touch me from one day when I was that as a little girl or a boy or a teenager or a young man? Who am I to come out of that poverty and be here with a double blessing of your wealth and riches of glory? Oh, well, I'm going to stop there. I pray you've been encouraged because you got a whole bunch of insteads right now. He said, I just want you to have this instead of that. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to lower the light and let us just come and have a good time with Jesus tonight. And you will just have time to talk with him a while, sit in his presence, and let him just strengthen you. And by the way, while you're there, say, Lord, who am I that you'd bless me like this? Lord, who is my family that you would choose me out of everybody? Oh, Father, we praise you. Well, come on, let's meet with the Lord for a few minutes here in the house. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Don't forget to worship the Lord. Put on the garment of praise before you talk to him about anything. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that treasure is in us. And the treasure, Jesus, is in this field that this church is on. The treasure is in this house and in us and in our homes and in our nation. And Father, we pray for America. We pray for her that you will surround her. Some borders are down, but Lord, you know how to keep the things out that need to stay out. Bring the things in that need to come in. And Lord, they're trying to keep you out of the schools, and especially out of the textbook, and out of the Capitol building, and out of Supreme Court, even some out of the church, out of our nation. But Lord, I just dare them to try to keep you out. You can go anywhere you want at any time. You want to walk into the school, you'll go into the school. If you want to have revival at Menanche, you'll have revival at Menanche. If you want to have revival out in the streets of Porterville or L.A., you'll do that. If you want to go into the universities and stir up trouble and make a spiritual riot, you'll do that too. Lord, if you want to turn our kids around like Jonah, and Father, you had an old fish prepared for him. He had messed up from the floor up. God, he was a messed up man. He was disobedient. He was ugly. And yet, Lord, you prepared a fish just like an old ship liner, cruise liner. Just took him on a little cruise and spit him out on the sand, and he made things right with you, and he did what you called him to do. And I want to tell somebody tonight, I feel that's right for you or for your son or daughter. I don't know who it is in your family. But they've been such a Jonah. Just ran the opposite direction. Went to Tarshish. They know that where they're supposed to be. They know. But they went to Tarshish and they're trying to say it was the right thing. But you have no idea what kind of fish God is preparing. A thing will swallow them up so hard. Only God knows how to do that. Prepare a great fish. All they know is they're down there in the seaweed and it's wrapped around their neck and they're like, what in the world? And then God will say, enough. Enough is enough. You've been able to do what you want to do. But I say enough. And then, Lord, you'll just spit them right out on the sand where you want them to be. It'll be an easy fall. Don't worry, it won't kill them. It won't hurt them. It's only God taking them where he wants them to go. And then don't you worry about it, because they will finish what God called them to do. They'll do exactly what God said to do. And there isn't anything that they can say. They'll love it. They will love it. They will love it. Woo! Oh, God, you have no idea. We have no idea about the fish that has been prepared. The angels, the stand to come. Come. Come, Lord, come in this house. Come in this house. Instead of the little crowd, there'll be a full crowd. Not just to have a crowd, but to have the harvest. Instead of a few healings down there, now and then, there will be multiple healings in every service. Instead of no healings, there will be multiple healings. Instead of one or two being saved on a Sunday morning, there will be hundreds running to the front to be saved all over because the harvest is ripe. Father, I pray, just as Jesus said, I pray that you'll send laborers into the harvest. Please get us ready that we might testify. Make us mindful. Make us mindful of the people you will bring in front of us every day. Help us not to be timid. Help us not to be back up. But help us to be able to speak their language. Not try to impress them. Not push them over the edge. But speak accordingly the way you would have us speak. Church, this thing is much bigger than anything we can ever imagine. And we take it so lightly. But I'm telling you, the splendor of the Lord is upon us. And I believe what happened last night, even in the American elections, you say, oh, that's physical. It doesn't matter. God uses things in the physical to show signs and wonders. And so you be encouraged, because the best is yet to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for this time tonight, Lord, with the people of Zion, the church, the remnant. We thank you for the offerings that were given, or a tithe that was given. I thank you for every prayer that was prayed. And the best part is, you said what things soever we desire when we pray, if we believe that we receive them, we shall have them, according to Mark 11:24. So thank you for every prayer. May your blessings and angels go before us and prepare the way. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here with us tonight. Love you so much and appreciate you all.